At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Woo!
Made it.
Got it.
Yeah. Talk about not knowing what you're doing in the middle of everything. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I do know what I'm doing.
Hi.
I am happy that we're here. I'm also happy that I have semblance of how to work stuff because I was able to fix everything in less than 30 seconds.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yay.
Yay.
I saw clicking on thing. What is that?
I know. I just keep
good
on.
Good thing you're here. So.
Good thing everything is good. How's everyone doing today?
We're I'm here. Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Living the dream.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
How you doing, Paul?
Yeah. I was fine. And then
until about 5 minutes ago?
No, not even 5 minutes. 30 seconds ago. But we're here. We're here and everything's working. Everything seems to be going well. We're missing Lacey today because she's doing a volleyball game.
She's volleyballing.
And we also were not live on the school Facebook page because volleyball.
Yay.
So
it's their last home match. We can be happy that it's their last. Yay.
Go team.
Yeah.
We could try to be happy.
Yeah. They put a lot of hard work in. They're doing a great job this year. So
yeah.
Landon and I got to go and Casey was there for the first JV and then first part of the varsity match. Mm-hmm. And they were playing pretty well.
They were up 5-0 when I left. And they did that in about a minute and a half. And I'm not even joking.
Yeah. There was one really good rally. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then ace.
Which is fun
ace.
To attend.
Yeah. But
you want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really not fun for the other team though.
Nope. They did a good job. They figured it out and made some switches. Yeah, it was good.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
So what's going on this week?
Like in life?
Sure.
Life is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good yep. talk, guys.
Stace.
you're out of quarantine. So.
I'm still confused as to what day it is. So.
It's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday.
It's October 5th, okay. 2021.
Like, now it's October. I kind of missed the last half of September and into October.
So yeah. Anybody
I'm
else?
Catching up.
Anybody else feel like it's not October?
Yes. Doesn't feel,
the
yeah.
Leaves, it doesn't. I feel like the trees are still very green and usually they're not quite so green.
Well, I have this theory that this is just no scientific fact at all, but I'm just that because of whatever metrics we put in our months, we're just off a little bit. So we're actually kind of still in September in the world. And
like the leap year isn't enough to catch us up.
Yeah. It's almost we're like we should just forget it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just start numbering.
Just
days.
Reset the calendar when once it feels like fall, we'll call that September 21st and move on. Right.
Well, yeah, it was, there's this guy, it's called the human calculator. He came up with a calendar called the human calendar that every month has 28 days and you start on 00. And so New Year's Day is 00. And then when you do it, it comes out to 13 months instead of 12. Mm, but then you always know that the 5th is always a Tuesday, whatever day it is. And every month's the same.
But the sad thing about that is like if you have a birthday on a Wednesday, your birthday is always going to be on a Wednesday.
You'd never celebrate my birthday.
Yeah, we should completely stop doing anything because of birthdays.
Absolutely.
I was born on the 31st, so what would I do?
Well, you... I don't know.
What would I do?
Well, if you look at the calendar, it actually
I'd
has.
Have to come up with.
Because it does flow into each other. So if you actually look at the calendar, it says, oh, well, this is October 31st would actually be whatever day. And he doesn't call it by months because he's like, the way that we name the months is ridiculous because it's like, you know.
Oct is
actually
eight.
Eight, but it's 10.
Yeah.
Because, and then you have only, you have 2 months that have 31 days in it in the row, which is August and July. And the reason why that is because there's two emperors. There's like, hey, I'm better than you, and you're better than me, and so we're gonna have 31 days each. And
Augustus and Julius.
I'm just saying, this is silly. I don't know what we're talking about.
We're talking about Jesus and months.
What day it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, Roman Empire.
And the trees.
Mm-hmm. It's related.
Yeah. Sure. Jesus.
That was his era.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let's talk about some scripture. Let's talk about identity. Let's talk about some practices that we might have.
Let's talk.
There you go.
Let's pew talk.
Let's Pew talk. We need like a let's pew talk.
Okay, I had to play this one thing for you because during your little message this week, every time you said that Jesus bursted into the room, every time.
Burst.
This is what I saw in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's why you sent that. You sent that GIF, and I'm like, Kool-Aid?
Well, you said something Hastings? About Lacey, so I thought it was a, oh, yeah, she won't be there.
Yeah, but it was just like
Jesus burst into the room. Oh, yeah.
And then, so apparently he was not the only one thinking this because I was thinking it. And then back in the sound booth, Cooper was thinking the same thing. And so we both turned to each other. Are we thinking?
You're like all thinking the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah. And then I thought of, you know, we were thinking of the story of Doubting Thomas when he comes in through the wall and goes, Shalom. And so Cooper and I started joking around going, Shalom.
Instead of, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So just to get it in your brain.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny because the guy who was born in the birthplace of Kool-Aid didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Every time you say it. And Jesus burst into the room. And I went, oh, yeah.
So. You think he broke through the wall like that?
No, he just like, was like,
an apparition.
And then he's like, I'm not a guest. I'm not a ghost.
No.
So just so we're clear, and I wish Lacey were here to be able to have this conversation.
That rhyme.
But that is the Gainus Maiestaticum. Mm-hmm. That is the divinity of Jesus affecting the humanity of Jesus. So we don't believe that when Jesus raises me from the dead, that I'll be able to walk through waters. It's because Jesus is also... Nice. Did I say walk through water? I think I will be able to walk through water. I won't be able to walk through walls. That is the Gainus Maiestaticum. Now, the non-reciprocity of the Gainus Maiestaticum, and I'll just be done because that's... That means that the humanity of Jesus does not affect his divinity.
All right.
There you go.
Thanks for that
so
info.
So we won't be able to walk through pepper. Walls.
Well, I
kind of wanted to walk through walls.
No, so probably not.
So the walk through walls, that's the black otter part.
No, that's different. That's similar use to set picado. This is the non-reciprocity of the Gainus Maiestaticum.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Very different.
Mm-hmm. Very different, yes.
There we go. I got my two favorite Latin phrases in the first 12 minutes.
8 minutes.
8 minutes.
So I was more fascinated about the human calendar.
Great.
Just put it in the comments if you thought that was actually.
All right, yeah. Which comment? Which is more interesting to you, the human calendar or the non-reciprocity of the Gainus Maiestaticum?
I'm pretty sure we're going to get a lot of human. Phrase. I was going to say,
I don't know how to type that, so human calendar.
Exactly. That's the only reason human calendar is going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, and if you actually look up the human calculator, this guy was on Mike Rowe's podcast. This guy's brain is amazing, and how he teaches math and how to count and do it. Oh, it's all based on Ein. You have to listen to this guy talk, because your mind will go.
I think that's what happens when people listen to us too. Their mind goes.
No, I think they go. I think they hear.
Hopefully not. We've been doing this how long? And that's the effect we have.
Yeah, it's been over a year.
Yeah.
We're on episode 65.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. That is correct. Wow.
Wow.
By Christmas, we'll be at 74.
Are we really only that far away?
Yeah, we're in October.
I thought that was the 8th month. I really did.
Yeah.
And like December is
10th.
10th. And yeah. So we should be in December right now. But, you know, because of Augustus and Julius Caesar, they had to have 31 days.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then they said, you know, we'll name the other ones off after gods. Mm-hmm. That's silly. Think of calendars. Silly.
Yes, it is.
And how many calendars are out there in the world? There's a bazillion calendars. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's a few.
A Jewish.
you're correct.
I don't put that much thought into the day. I just mm-hmm.
there you go.
What? I also think of the calendar in a
We're not going into that conversation.
I'm doing it.
Oh. Well, I think of the calendar a lot because, I mean, as a tax preparer, we have so many deadlines.
Dates are important.
And it's all. Oh, by the way, it's a fourth quarter due. Just in case you're doing payroll.
Good to know.
Yeah. Okay.
Say our estimates aren't till
January. Yeah, not estimates.
I just paid my third quarter.
That was last month.
On time. They were on time.
Okay.
I remember, I lost you at time. Just didn't
happen. Okay. You're all right.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
We're good.
Okay.
We're
so
good.
Yep.
We're talking about scripture. Bible. We're talking about reading. We're talking about identity. We're talking about
all
strategies.
That.
I mean, Mrs. Gerbs gave some suggestions. We'll put that in the comments later.
What sort of suggestions? Instead of just sending them to the comments, tell us what you told us.
We're ago. I don't remember. I just sent you a bunch of links.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking about studying scripture. So I was thinking, you know, what things are helpful for me when I've been studying scripture, both from a Bible study standpoint to like really dig in, but also from just a daily, I think study and meditating on God's word are probably what I do most often, not necessarily the in-depth, like I spend an hour looking at the Bible and have my Bible dictionary and concordance and all that. I don't do that very often. But I do. Well, when I hear Bible study and study scripture, that's the first thought that comes to my head. But I don't know how many people actually do that every day. And I don't think that's necessary to know God and to be impacted by God's word. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But for an everyday practical application of studying scripture, I don't think that's what most people will fall back on. So I shared a couple things. One of them was Visual Faith Ministry, which was something started in the Michigan district of the LCMS by, there are a couple pastor's wives and then a couple just lay women who are really into crafts and artsy kinds of things. So engaging with scripture in a more artistic way. So they have bookmarks you can print off. I think they might have a couple different studies and like group activities you can do. We've done it. I think last year we did one or two of them in Sunday school. I kind of condensed them a little bit so they'd be better for kids, but just different ways to color God's word and then have something to put in your Bible or another book or hang on the wall that you can read it and be reminded of it. Or the other ones I sent. One of them was Sweet Blessings, I think. Do you have it?
No, I have them right here. Okay. I already put them in. I put them in the comments. So if occasion
wasn't. Sweet Blessings is another one. I think Deb Hoyer likes that one, but they have every month a theme. And then every day they have a couple verses that you can just write out. So I've done that kind of off and on through the years, but I think Deb Hoyer likes to do that a lot. So every day it's just a couple verses to read, but then to actually write it. So you're engaging with God's word in a different way that way too, because writing puts it into your brain differently than just reading it. So that's something I've had a journal and just every day write out these verses, take them to 20 minutes.
Lutheran Hour Men's Network, only for men.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you know more about that, but I know that's one that you like.
I love the Lutheran Hour Men's Network. It is not only for men. It is.
Is that, it's LHM. I thought it was Lutheran Hour Ministry.
Oh, that's right. Men's.LHM is Lutheran Hour Ministry, is the men's network, whatever.
I didn't think
that. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, my bad. Both fantastic. Lutheran Hour is based out of St. Louis. They've got lots of different stuff to engage with different people. They've got men's studies. They've got different Bible studies. They've got studies on different religions. They've got studies on different books of the Bible or different stories from the Bible. It's one of my favorite Noah studies because it really goes into even into archaeology and how we see, you know, it's because of the flood of Noah that we see like folds in the rocks rather than, or bends in the rocks, not millions of years, but something that happened quickly.
They have podcasts. There's a devotion, I think, every day
that you can get in your email or you can go find that. They'll even read it to you. That one, they'll even read to you if it's in your, that you get in your email. Just lots of different, very good resources, solid, biblical. So those are some very good ones. You've got the Bible Project. I love the Bible Project. I love their podcast, but it will nerd you out. That is one of my favorite. There is just on the Sabbath, on the number 7, they have probably like 25 hours worth of podcasts.
Wow.
Just on the concept of the Sabbath. And then I teach a class on it for 45 minutes. And I'm like, all right, how much of these 25 hours can I fit in 45 minutes? Let's go. But it's just.
The odds would say less than one.
Not much. Yeah.
If you like all those nerdy details and things.
But that's one, if you've like never read the Bible before or you don't know the stories very well, they've got videos where they sum up their 25 hours worth of podcast into a 5-minute video or a 7-minute video. So all of their video, they make a bunch of videos on different topics in the Bible, but they also have a video for every single book of the Bible that will tell you like, oh, here's the flow of the entire story of this book. And then you read the book. So that's a fantastic, but then it also has, here's a theme and here's where we find it throughout the story. And then for each of those theme videos, they've got podcasts where they're talking about, here's all the background information. Here's everything that we were thinking through that led us to make this 5-minute video. So I really like that. I get a weekly email with stuff from them, and then the BibleRecap.com.
I think that's kind of similar. I have not really looked at that one even until today, but I have a friend who has shared a lot about it and how much she really likes it. But it goes along with the 1-year Bible reading plan. So it has, I think it said, a 5 to 8 minute podcast every day that coincides with, here's what you read today. I know a lot of people like to try, especially in January, let's read through the Bible. Yeah. And they have that Bible reading plan. So then every day there's a video that coincides with it that gives more depth into here's what you read and here's how you, how this is, why this is important, and just helps you better connect with what you read. So it brings those pieces together. So it had like, if you want to do this, start with these steps to get you prepared. So it was kind of a, it was kind of a process. But if that's something that you like to do, is read through the Bible every year, I think that could be a really good resource to go with that. Especially if you're following that specific plan. I know My Bridge Radio likes to do a big push for that every new year. So that's readily available. They read the Bible in a year.
They still every, I think it's the last Friday of the month, they give away a bunch of 1 year Bibles.
Yep. And then I think the last one was just the Bible app for the phone. Because it has a whole bunch of different plans for let's read. I think it has a read through the Bible in the year plan that you can subscribe to. And it's then good. You can keep track of everything there. It has short little devotions you can do for 5 days just on a topic. It has all kinds
of resources. The Bible Project, because the Bible Project is a little bit different read through the Bible in a year, but it's got the, all the videos with it too that you can watch right in the Bible app. It connects so those together.
Hearing about studying scripture, that's something that I know you and I throughout our lives have studied scripture in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we kind of get stuck in our routine of here's how I read the Bible, and I don't know that I'm really comprehending or even retaining what I'm reading. So I've found that changing it up every once in a while, doing a different format is really helpful. So those are some of those different things that I've used and that I thought would be good to share in case you're looking for a way to start or a way to change it up. There's some options available. And I did see in today's lesson, this is actually the first one I read of being challenged.
So proud of you, honey.
I didn't want to get my germs on it at first, and then I kind of, but I did read today, and it said at the on their website they have some resources too for reading plans.
And they've got some kids resources too.
Yeah, that was what I didn't get to, was kids resources.
It sounds like there's a billion and one resources.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's a whole industry on how to read the Bible.
Yeah. Maybe.
And I think it's just because there's so many ways individuals process the Bible, because one person's golden reading plan won't mean anything to the other, because some people love the idea of reading the Bible from cover to cover. Well, for someone like me, that's a little harder because I'm a very chronological person. I love what actually happened timeline-wise. And if you read the Bible cover to cover, it's not actually, it's mostly chronological, but there are times we step back a little bit in history and then we jump forward. For me, I love that ability to have a reading plan that tells it as it laid out history-wise. So if you have a plan that works for you, that's awesome. But the number one thing is to find one that keeps you plugged in.
Yeah. And so it really just is about starting somewhere. Try something. And you know, like I'm one that the read through the Bible in a year is not for me. Because I get bogged down, and eventually after a few months, I just get through it to get through it. And I check it off the box, and it doesn't do anything for me. I am much better about like the portals of prayer. That's really just focusing in on one verse. There's longer readings in it, but it's really just focused in on one verse that then there's a short devotion with, and there's a prayer with. And that's same Lutheran Hour Men, or Lutheran Hour Ministries does the same thing. Lutheran Church Charities does the same. Like, so there are a lot of places that do those sorts of things. Those I connect better with, because it focuses me rather than trying to read 8 chapters of something. And then I'm so spread out that it really didn't mean much to me. But there are some people who just absolutely love, let me just plow through this whole story and reading that story. But I'm not a reader. I'm a hearer. I'm a listener. And so like to me, sitting down and reading a big chunk of any book is very taxing, very, very tiring. So reading, sitting down and reading a large chunk of Bible, I get lost. And so like, I got to listen to it. And that's why I love the Bible app, because I can listen to it. I can speed it up a little bit, and just hear God's word instead.
Okay. So we talked about strategies of in different mediums that you could use, apps, websites, books, devotionals, different ways. Okay. So let's shift our focus a little bit. And you mentioned in the last week how let's just shift to identity a little bit.
Yep.
Now on day 15, he says here, the only place to find your true identity is in God's word. That's the whole point. Be able to read these things and then find yourself within those words, right? But identity is extremely powerful, especially, I mean, everybody has heard the stories of the football player who was great in high school, but now is those glory days are over and he doesn't know who he is. The musician that used to be amazing, but now he's just an old guy who can't play guitar anymore because he has arthritis. I don't know. I'm just saying.
The mom whose kids are out of the house.
Out of the house. Yeah. So we all kind of have our identity based on something. So how do you, one, I mean, do you, I've, and it's also also a big industry on that too. Just to say, who am I?
Yeah.
As a, I mean, you mentioned the go on Facebook, you can find out what Disney character you are.
Yep.
Now, when I was in went to school, we had to do this Gallup Clifton StrengthsFinder.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I have up my top five. You guys want to hear?
I don't remember my top five, but go for it. Yeah.
Okay. So, and now you want me to read the explanation for each one? So it doesn't really matter. Number one, I'll start from five.
Okay. So this is who you are.
This is who Gallup says I am. So,
and therefore it has to be real.
Mm-hmm. Therefore it has to be real. Actually, it's pretty close. I mean, if I had, but then again, you could really find yourself in any of these things. Apparently there was 34 strengths or something like that, right? They give you the top five and say, this is, and then you'll also find in these Gallup things based on who you, that you'll never find a person who has the exact same top fives.
Let's go. Let's see if we're the same. I found mine.
You found yours?
Yep. Okay.
Number five. My number five is individualization.
Okay.
And not that mine. Means people who are especially talented in individualization theme are intrigued by the unique qualities of each person. They have a gift for figuring out how people who are different can work together productively.
Yep.
Worship.
Yes. So what is your number five?
My number five is responsibility.
That's my number four.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So people who are especially talented in the responsibility theme take psychological ownership of what they say and do. They are committed to stable values such as honesty and loyalty.
So your number...
That's my number five.
And that's my number four. Okay.
So now I got to go with my number four.
Yeah.
Positivity.
I do not have
that. Surprise!
What?
Surprise!
So what is positivity?
Say? I did not see that coming.
Yeah, my Enneagram, if I'm a one wing nine, it is the... what is the... One wing nine is optimist. So yeah, that's me.
I'm a nine.
Yes.
Solid nine.
So people who are especially talented in the positivity theme have an enthusiasm that is contagious. They are upbeat and can get others excited about what they are going to do.
That's when I fell in love.
Yeah. So my number three is arranger.
Me too.
Number three?
Yeah.
I thought yours was... Oh, that's...
No, that's my four was positivity.
Oh, so my number three is arranger. So you're
like
three...
One word?
Arranger.
When I first... I'm not thinking Avenger. Like a power ranger.
No, not ranger. Arranger.
Like you arrange things.
I arrange things. So okay. People who are especially talented in the arranger theme can organize, but they also find the flexibility that complements this ability. They like to figure out how all the pieces and resources can be arranged for maximum productivity.
This is not saying I keep my house clean.
No, I'm just... No. Yeah, you can... That...
You're looking at all the different pieces and going... Yeah. This, and if you add that with the individualization, I can look at that and go, okay, this is your talent. We're going to put it over here.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was your number three and my number three. So what is your number two?
Harmony.
Mine too.
Gallup.
All right, so I'll read. People who are especially talented in the harmony theme look for consensus. They don't enjoy conflict. Rather, they seek areas of agreement.
I'm pretty sure if I took this would be like my number one.
Okay, well then.
We might.
What do you think your number one is? I mean, hold on. You guys don't have a list. We can't take. What is your number one?
I think it's probably the same as my number one.
What is yours?
Includer.
Nope, mine is connectiveness.
Okay.
So you go ahead and read.
All right,
so you just read. I'll read now.
Okay.
People who are especially talented. I love how they say especially talented. Especially talented in connectiveness theme have faith in the links between all things. They believe there are few coincidences.
Yep. I think that's it. Got it.
And that almost every event has a reason.
Okay.
And then yours.
So that seems very like biblical mindset too.
Yeah.
No.
People who are especially talented in the includer theme are accepting of others. They show awareness of those who feel left out and make an effort to include them.
Yeah, which is, it's amazing that based on the other ones, you would think that between the arranger and the individualization, it's almost the same as that.
Yeah.
Those two together.
Well, that's why I thought that would be right up there for you. But
when I originally did this, I looked at that list and went, eh. But then when I really started looking at it, I was like, yeah, I do that a lot. I do all these things a lot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, but it again, just because I have this list, it doesn't sit there and go, well, that's my identity. I am a connective.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And you can, there's so much that you can do with that and grow with that. One of my favorite things to do with this is then talk about the balconies and the basements of each of these, like for includer, one of the balconies is, getting getting everyone involved, but the basement is, I'm trying to remember exactly how this one was, but like the basement, like you can turn all of these strengths, can own you, and they can become your weaknesses. And like, I've got to get everyone involved. And if I can't get everyone involved, then I can't move forward.
Yeah. There's a roadblock there.
Yeah. But all these,
see, that's why I think harmony is going to be my number one, because sometimes conflict is needed and I do not enjoy conflict.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes you hash out the best ideas inside conflict.
Yeah. But all of these, they're great. They're fun. They can help us become better at our jobs. They can help us work better with our coworkers, or be better just individuals in working with our community around us.
I also find it's a good tool for team building, because your strengths, Stacey, will be completely different than all ours. And then, of course, me being an arranger and an individual, I would look at your strengths and go, you're really good at this part.
Yep.
And I'm really bad at that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same conversation we've had. It's the same. To me, when I look at this, I do think of the Bible. I do think of Paul going, you all have strengths, but some of you are teachers and some of you are administrators and some of you are caregivers and some of you are, you know, whatever.
All important.
Yeah. All important.
All necessary.
Some of you are legs. Some of you are pinkies.
Yeah.
But everything is important.
Some of y'all are armpits.
And some of you are armpits.
Pinky armpits.
But that's, so all these things are great. All these things are fun. I think they're beneficial for making us work together, helping us work together better. But what we really want to focus on, this is not my identity.
No, not mine either.
Right. It's not your identity. It's not any of our identities. This is kind of how we live our lives, is how we interact with others. But this can't become my identity. Mm-hmm. Just like pastor can't become my identity.
Well, and that's because if we really look at it as we're all children of God and that's our identity,
right?
Then to me, because of these things, and because I look at everybody's strengths and going, well, we're children of God, therefore your strength is these things. So therefore this is how we can work as a team.
Yeah.
They're still going to need somebody to arrange that.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to have to be the worker bee, and somebody's going to have to be, you know, and it's just amazing to me that, and of course this is my connectiveness, that the people that that God puts in your life, it's amazing how you can look back and go, wow, those Lego pieces really went together pretty good. Those puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't know. I find it fascinating at the same time. That identity of we're children of God is really more prevalent because it's the big picture versus just,
it's the who we are, period. And that's what, like, and that's the interesting, like, I love thinking about this. And I honestly, I'll be honest, when I get the question of who are you, my answer does not usually begin with, well, I'm a child of God and this is what I do and this is who's in my family. You know, who are you? You know, I often we answer that question with our vocation. Work or with whatever vocation, however that plays out, whether that's mom, dad, child of, So mom, dad, child of so-and-so, or this is my job, or I'm the guy who, we got, Stacy and I were in a golf, we played in a golf tournament about a month ago, and we got to shoot the hot dog cannon that goes Derviner to all the Huskers, Derviner Schlinger, that goes to all the...
with a golf ball to try and get it onto the green.
Yeah, it was a foam golf ball. We weren't shooting...
Hot dogs,
or like hard golf balls. But like, for him, you ask him the question, and I'm the guy that shoots hot dogs at football games. When we make our identity about those things, what we're doing is we're making our identity temporary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the biggest struggle. I really think that's the biggest struggle when it comes to most of our societal problems is an identity problem. We base our identity in what we do. We base our identity in what political party we're in. We base our identity in who we love. We base our identity in all of these things that are temporary. And honestly, a lot of what happens is we base our identity in our sin, in our sinful nature. And so when we, you know, it's so easy to say, you know, oh, love the sinner, hate the sin. Well, for a lot of those, especially the societal things that we're really having some different conversations about, when you say love the sinner, hate the sin, it's the same thing, because they've based their identity in what God would call sin. And so you can't separate those two. And then when you have conversations about what God has said, then you're bigoted, hateful, because when you're talking about the sin, you really, in their minds, you're talking about them and that they're a bad person or that they're, yeah.
Well, and what I find interesting about these identity issues we have is how we describe ourselves also changes with our environment at times too. Even in the same, you know, week, you could be, you know, if you go to a football game and, you know, you just happen to not be wearing any team gear, you know, when someone asks, you know, about you, you're probably not going to say, oh, I'm an accountant. Like, that doesn't apply here. Your identity in that moment is I cheer for this team. But in the workplace, no one cares who you cheer for if you're brand new. Like, it's, and so we try to fit in with these identities in a lot of times in areas that will not fulfill us completely. So we put on different pieces of ourselves to what will make us likable in each situation. But when it comes down to it, people's praise of us is just as fickle as ours is of others. And so one of the things I've struggled with is where do I find not necessarily my identity, but where do I find my gratification? Is it in what others think of me? Is it what everyone thinks of me? Because early on in my time in youth ministry, that was a real struggle, is I thought I could make everyone happy. Because that harmonizing thing came in. I'm like, oh yeah, I can take a piece of what they want and I can take a piece of what they want. And then we go mix it all together and it'll be this beautiful idea. It took me about 2 months to figure out that doesn't work.
You mean 2 minutes, right?
But
I beat things into the ground. that's also me.
That's a very interesting point, because I do think that when we talk about our identity, our vocation, who we are, it is in the light that I want to prove to this person who's asking that I am worth something. Mm. And so therefore my vocation is because it's like, I am this, I am that. I find is, of course, as education level goes up, it's just like, oh, look how important I become.
Mm-hmm. The letters after my name.
Yeah, I got a bunch of letters after my name. I actually do have a bunch of letters after my name. It doesn't mean anything because I'm still an idiot. So when it comes down to it, is that identity is really what you're talking about. It's, mm-hmm. it's sitting and going, I am worth something. When you talk to me, I want you to know that I'm important.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's one of the reasons once someone obtains a doctorate, whether it's medical or otherwise, you no longer call them Mr. or Mrs. or Miss. You call them doctor, because it's
chief to the status.
Yeah.
Well, I have become more than you, mm-hmm. and therefore I have earned this right. This is the same thing happens with politicians. They get voted in, suddenly they're
senator.
They're senator. It's like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And now they have the right to tell you how to live. It's like, go away. But you know, if you flip that and you sit there and go, first in your head, if you actually sit there and go, I'm a child of God, your worth's already there.
Right.
You don't have to prove anything to anybody.
Yep.
And
even, you know, you're talking about people who feel good about themselves, putting their identity in there, you know, trying to make myself like show others that I'm worth something. But there are also a lot of people walking around in this world who feel horrible about themselves.
Yeah.
And their identity is,
you know, the chaos.
It's the chaos. It is their past, how they've been,
the victimization.
Yeah, how they've been victims, whether perceived or actual victims. That's where the identity sticks, and they can't believe that anyone would love them because they say, "But look at what I've done." And that's when Jesus says, "But that's not who you are.
Look at what he's
look
done.
At what I, yeah." Jesus says, "Look at what I've done, and this is who I say that you are, and you have value." And so it's really, and we really on both sides of the spectrum. When our identity is not founded in Jesus, no matter what, whether we feel great about ourselves or we feel awful about ourselves, we're still going to be searching for worth somewhere, yeah. rather than letting Jesus speak and opening up his word and seeing how much worth he has said that we have because he's given it to us.
You know, it's interesting because we can go through history and name any kind of thing that has made our lives easier, using quotations here. And maybe one you can think of, this person in 1700 invented this thing that now is the reason why we have a camera. I don't know, whatever. But you can't.
I think toilets are nice.
Yeah, but do you know who made it?
John Crapper did. Yes.
Thomas Crapper.
No, it was John.
I thought it was Thomas.
No, it was John.
All right.
Okay.
Because that's another nickname.
Toilet. Yep.
The John. So it had to be John.
The John Crapper. you know, I gotta make sure being from New England.
I kind of wanted to also, but I didn't want to be the guy that reaches for his phone.
Well, you know, what's funny is that being from New England, I used to say, yeah, it was in the Crapa, but I never even thought that that was, I thought it was just, is it John Crapa?
It is Thomas.
Boom.
What happened?
So then now we have to look up why we call it the John.
And now I
John as slang for toilet, probably derived from Jake's or Jack's medieval English term for what was then a small, smelly loo inside the house if you were very fancy, and the outside house if you were slightly less so fancy.
We have our stink inside our house, and we're fancy.
Anyways, the point is...
I now take my identity for knowing who invented the toilet.
So I'm wondering if John Crapa thought that...
It's Thomas. I've ruined you now because I've told you.
If Thomas Crapa thought that his identity was, hey, I invented the toilet. But did he invented the flushable toilet? Is that what you're saying? I'm assuming that before he was born, somebody pooped somewhere.
Yes.
What? Children.
I'm just saying. This is a great conversation. Yes.
He held 9 patents, 3 of them for the water closet improvement, such as the floating ballcock, the thing that
actually goes and fills the water up.
He also improved the S-bend plumbing trap in 1880 by inventing the U-bend.
But he didn't. But he did not invent sewers. I'm just saying.
No.
Right.
But we don't know who did. Can you think of
Wikipedia? I can't. No, that's not on the top of my head.
All right. I know. It's
the point
ancient societies had them, so true. We can't name it.
Yeah. So the point is that the identity of those things, that those accomplishments that have affected the world for the better, you would have to say.
Yeah.
Assuming.
Yep.
That identity is still just like Ecclesiastes. It's just vapor at that point.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I invented this. Great. And 3,000 years from now, nobody's going to care.
Well, and it's, you walk to, I'm thinking of grand buildings, museums, any place where you need donations to keep it going to the public. You see areas where they put bricks or tiles or walls with names on them. And while, recognition is nice, first off, when I go to one of these places, I'm not sitting there going, wow, Thomas thus and such donated this. Wow. It's like, first off, I don't take time to look at that. And second of all, I don't know who that is. So that doesn't mean much to me. If our identity is how we improve the world. I mean, we just had an argument over the name of the guy who invented the toilet. Like, we can't even hold his name to exact memory. So if that's the case, if we're hoping to be remembered, we better do something really grand or really infamous. Or, if our identity is about being remembered, then most of us will be sorely mistaken.
Okay. So interrupt a little bit. Mm-hmm. Apparently the mic was muted the whole time we were talking for 45 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
But we have the podcast audio. So I would go and download the audio of that.
Oh, my goodness.
So nobody's watching anyways right now.
They probably looked at us and went,
it's like they're talking with no sound.
My identity is in the fact that we have no sound, so therefore I have failed.
But I can hear you.
We're
fine. We had a great conversation. Y'all missed it. Listen to it tomorrow.
If you get to this,
or today, because you're hearing it.
If you're actually watching this video and you watch this far with no audio, I applaud you.
Yay.
I applaud you.
Your identity is a very dedicated person.
Yeah.
They're like, one day I will hear them talk. So the live video thing was kind of a bust today, but whatever.
It's okay.
But we have it on bot, the podcast, so go download that. Our conversation is very poignant, and I think it's a good one to hear.
Yeah.
Not just see.
Well, of us just doing it. We're paramount.
So did they hear the toilet talk, or did they not?
No, I turned it on after that.
Okay.
By the way,
that's probably why it was muted, because God knew that was coming. The listeners don't just need to hear this right now on Facebook.
Okay. Well, we'll just basically talk to our podcast people, because nobody is watching this video from this.
That's all right.
So,
look, somebody's on. Hi, friend. You can hear us now.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks for checking back in.
Good time.
We appreciate you.
Lacey, is it you?
No.
Volleyball done.
Well, anyways, I don't remember what we were talking about before.
We're talking about Thomas.
And our identities. But how many times do we do things that we think people will remember, and just to hope to be remembered through time? And in reality, we won't be remembered at all. I think what I had just finished saying was, if we're hoping to be famous or infamous, we better do something grand. Otherwise, we'll be lost to time. And so if we're hoping hoping to be remembered by the world, odds upon odds upon odds, we're going to be sorely mistaken. But there's someone who knows every single one of our names and calls us by name as his. Like, we don't need to do anything to make God remember us. When Jesus was on the cross for us, he was thinking of each and every one of us.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might be able to name the top 10 richest people in the world right now. Could you do it in the turn of the century? Mm-mm. I mean, yeah, we could look it up,
Yeah.
I mean, somebody, but I'm just saying it's not. Right. So therefore it is just what it is. And if you turn your gaze to that goal, I'm going to be the richest man in the world and everybody will remember me.
No, they won't.
No, they won't.
Because you'll always want to be doing more. Mm-hmm. I'm here now, but this person's catching up. I got to do more.
Well, there are 12 names next? In the Bible. When we're talking about scripture, 12 names in the Bible who would never have been famous.
Mm-mm. Right. Yeah. They caught some fish and done some other things.
And most of their legendary moments where their names are mentioned in scripture is when they were doing something dumb and Jesus had to correct them.
But it was because they were with Jesus.
Exactly.
That they were remembered.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to, like, as we close out in a little bit, to really kind of bring it back to, instead of, because we talked a lot about what not to do. One of the things to really focus on for me is we can really make, when we're talking about studying scripture, we can make it really difficult. You know, I can give you lots of formulas. I can give you ways to do it. And I can give you ways that I think can be helpful for some people. But for some of us, and there are in the book, there's a section, I think it was yesterday's, with different Bible verses. And it's one that I've put up as well, but they just remind you of your identity. We can get into lots of different conversations about lots of theological issues. We can talk about the non-reciprocity of the Ganus Maestaticum, but what's more important and the whole point of the story, and I say story not as a made up story. People sometimes don't like when we use the word story about the Bible. But what's so important about the story, the I can't think of the word
account?
I'm supposed to use. Yes, thank you. The word I'm supposed to use. The account of Jesus is that it was done for you. And that it was that all of what God has, like what Jesus has done was and is for you to give you faith and call you his child. There are lots of other individual accounts in there that lead us to that. Lots of accounts after that of those 12 and then others trying to spread that good news into all of the world. But don't get bogged down in the little details. Get stuck in the account of Jesus and what he has done for you, because that's the big story, that God created a perfect world. We sinned, we messed it up, and the rest of the story from Genesis 3 to Jesus, and then after that, Genesis to the maps, is the story of God bringing you back into relationship with him. And there's stuff that you might read that might not make sense. There's stuff that you'll read that you'll go, why would he put this in there? But the whole thing is to point us to Jesus and to point us to our need for Jesus, because we are sinners. But then to see that Jesus calls us by name and he calls us, you know, he brings us into his family, that God adopts us into his family and makes us his children, not by what we did, but by what he did on the cross for us and the faith that he gives us through his word, through the hearing of his word. And then we get to go and live that out and we get to go and share that with others. And then he uses us to bring God's word into the lives of others so that they might know who he is and have faith in him.
I think that's one of the neatest things with our own kids, because we sometimes will ask them, who are you? And almost always they respond, I'm a child of God. Just to hear that sure conviction for them. Like, it's not, I'm your daughter. I'm Landon's sister. I'm a child of God. And that really is their identity. And so to, even as parents of young children, to remind them of that regularly, they hear that in worship. We talk about their baptism and what that means. And reading the Bible with them, we say, you know, you are God's child and this is important for you. And that even at that young age, and I think I had that knowledge very young as a child too, and it's gone with me kind of all throughout my life. I mean, I've done a number of different activities and things and could have identified and did identify as a lot of, I'm in choir, I play soccer.
All-star goalie.
No. Putter maybe.
Oh yes, definitely the best putter I've met.
But underneath all of that was that certainty that I'm a child of God, and regardless of what I'm doing, that's the more important thing. So,
and
the simplicity of that too, and reminding each other of that. Casey, you're a child of God. God.
Like, yeah. I mean,
just to say that, and it matters.
In anything, any identity we put on ourselves will never, at some point, will be unsatisfying or imperfect. Like, there'll be times, even if you're the best lawyer on the planet, there'll be times you don't do your job right. There'll be times I don't do my job right, even though I try my best.
Well, we might need to have a conversation then.
You know what? You fall in this category too. You won't do your job right always either. Yes. Yeah, that's why we need Jesus. But and that's why being labeled a child of God is so incredible. It's will never fail us. It's not something we can lose or gain a higher status of. It has been placed upon us and cannot be removed. It is
or changed.
It is a permanent part of our being.
And so maybe you're out there today and you're wondering, you know, I've never done this before. I've never read the Bible before. Again, we've given you a bunch of resources, but it might still feel overwhelming. Well, we talk a lot about baby steps. What if this week, one time, you pulled out the Bible, you looked up one of those resources, or you know, if you're connected to Trinity and you get the emails, in those at the bottom of those emails, we put the passages that we're going to be focusing on in worship. Pick one of those, read one of those, and once a week, you know, it might seem like a lot, or it might not seem like that much, but if you read the Bible once a week until you get into that rhythm, until you feel comfortable with that rhythm, even if that takes you a whole year to get comfortable with that rhythm, that's 52 more times that you've read the Bible this year than maybe in your entire life. And then maybe you're like, all right, for this year, I did it once a week. Now I'm comfortable with that. Why don't I try 3 times a week this year? And now in 2 years, you've read the Bible 208 times. I was actually doing this in the car as I was coming home.
Is that why
I
drove?
No, as I was coming home from saving.
He was counting on his fingers.
As I was coming home from saving lives earlier this morning, mm-hmm. I gave blood.
So humble.
I'm a superhero.
Is that your identity?
Yes, superhero. I did not wear my arm cape for very long because it gets really annoying. But that's like 208 times in 2 years reading the Bible. That's a lot of Bible reading. And you're like, but it was only once a week. Yeah, okay. Huh. What if it gets to the point then after 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, that now you're comfortable reading the Bible every day? Now you're reading the Bible 356 times a year, 365 times a year. I'm really good with the numbers. Maybe see, look at me go.
That was a couple days.
I was just seeing if y'all were paying attention.
That was for bank holidays.
Yeah, yeah. But now, right now, it's become an active part of your life. You don't turn a ship real quick. Sometimes you just need to put in, what's that one baby step that I can do this week and again next week and again next week? Open up God's word and read it once and then do it again another time.
I had a friend of mine who used to say, if you see somebody with a Bible that is used, I mean, is beat up because of use and it looks torn and worn out and all that, he goes, you see that and I'll show you a life that is not those things. And so,
oh, yeah.
And it's just, it was just
I liked the image that you picked up, the dusty Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Read me.
Don't let your Bible be dusty.
That is probably one of my highlights of my week, just to find a silly
yeah.
thing that makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
It's all about my humor.
Yeah.
So
I'm still picturing the squirrel with the armor on it. I mean, that's still the thing that jumps into my head.
My funny
the
moment.
I think Emily Doll probably made that.
Probably.
Well, in that aspect, then I think it's time that we wrap this up and
close in prayer.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for who you say that we are, as you willingly died on the cross for us, to cover our sins and to bring us into your family, to be our savior, and that you call us your children, you adopt us into your family because you want us to be a part of your family. And so help us to read your word, help us to see that identity that you place on us, and help us to go live out that identity as that word influences us more and more, and then as our identity influences our habits and as we live differently because who you have said that we are. So again, help us to study your word today so that we might better know who you are. And then in light of that, who we are. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. If you made it through the video, we applaud you. If you did get here and you wanted to hear what we were saying before, then go to the podcast, which is on any podcast.
Just search
Trinity Fremont.
Yeah. And it'll go up on the church Facebook page. I think 11 a.m. tomorrow is when it usually gets scheduled.
I'll download it tonight and get it all set to go. We will have the links in the descriptions below. We do have the links of the resources that Stacy brought to us in the chats if you want to see them.
Yep. And you didn't hear us talk about them.
We didn't hear them talk about it, but
they were there.
But you go to the podcast.
Go to the video.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. Anything else going on?
For any of our high school's parents or students listening, just a reminder for Trinity or even non-Trinity members, we are having a meeting after the late service at 11:45 to talk about the National Youth Gathering. It happens every 3 years, and it's where Lutherans or otherwise, but it's a Lutheran gathering. We go to the same city, and there's about 25,000 of us worshiping together for 3 or 4 days, and it is a life-changing experience. Talk about those baby steps that God uses to move you in the direction of where he has you going in life. I've been a Christian my whole life, but going to the National Youth Gathering as a high schooler is one of the reasons I'm a DCE today. It was incredibly influential. It's a life-changing event. So by attending this meeting, you're not signing up for it. You're just finding out more. But if you have the opportunity to go as a high school student, 10 out of 10. Oh, heck, 12 out of 10 would recommend.
Oh, no, you got to say 10 out of 10 because that's the date for the meeting.
Oh,
October 10th.
Oh, yes, 10 out of 10. Would recommend the meeting on 10-10.
Where's the gathering?
Houston, Texas.
Houston.
In
July.
In the football, in the baseball.
Yep, at where the Houston Astros play.
Yeah, Minute Maid. Mm-hmm. Is it still Minute Maid?
Yep, it used to be Enron back in the day.
They're out of town that weekend then.
Probably, yeah.
They usually work it that way.
Yeah. One would
know. Excuse us. We need to play a game.
We got
to
play a baseball game here.
Part of the entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
The Astros. Weren't they the ones that were like watching signs from across?
Yeah. Yep. There's plenty of cameras to catch the action of the National Youth Gathering there.
There
right
you
here.
Go. Oh, wow. Sorry, Ted.
Anyways, I really hope that Jesus busts through your door.
I hope people that were watching without sound just kept watching this Kool-Aid man busting through the video over and over.
If I was a good video editor, I could have put in Shalom, but I could probably do that just because if I had time. I don't have time. But if I did have time, I would do that.
There you go.
Because me being a dork.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else going on? We miss you, Lacey. We hope to be back here next week.
Study scripture this week, and next week we'll prioritize prayer.
Yeah. Prayer is going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.